Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Barry Shubb, a former executive director at the NICD and professor emeritus of virology at Wits University. He's joining us on the line. Professor Shubb, a very good morning and thanks for speaking to us. You have to be a guy in very high demand this morning.
Thank you, Howard. It's been a little bit busy.
Yes.
I must say.
I can only imagine. All right. So just straight off the bat, I was horrified. I was shocked last night. I was despondent, and I can see that that mood is reflected back to me from our listeners. It's this feeling of, no, like, please don't stop this. It's all very well for Americans to do it. They've got other alternatives. They're vaccinating millions of people literally per week or even per day. Some of the numbers were very, very high. They've got alternatives. We don't. We vaccinated less than 300,000 people. Why on earth are we following the FDA? Give us your thoughts on it.
Okay, Howard, it's not really that we're following the FDA. Basically, the way it works is when you have a vaccine rollout, we've got to be very vigilant for what we call safety signals. In other words, all these safety signals have to be investigated. And they're really the only way in which you can investigate it is you actually put a pause. Now, it's a pause, not a suspension. And I think that verb or the word means a lot. In other words, it's a very temporary thing, probably for about 24, maybe up to top 72 hours. You put a pause on so we can really do the investigation, because these safety signals are signals. They've got to be investigated. You know, vaccines are something which are given to healthy people. So we've got to make absolutely sure that they are as safe as possible. Now, in terms of, it's not really going to affect the rollout. I mean, if you have a pause of 2 or 3 days, it's not going to affect the rollout. The rollout still carries on. And it's not going to stop the rollout. It's not going to impede the rollout or slow it down in any material way at all. It's really just a kind of a mechanism which is used to kind of make sure that vaccines are safe.
Don't you think, though, that the negativity, the despondency, fallout from even announcing a pause in the South African context, it's very different to other parts of the world. Shouldn't that have been weighed up, even given the fact that there's so few vaccines that are being given every day? If it is just a 24-hour, 72-hour, whatever it would be, wouldn't it have been better to say we're assessing it and not make the announcement that we're pausing it? Do you think that they could have do you think they could have, and maybe I believe should have, anticipated this type of pushback on and negativity that kind of announcement would cause?
Yeah, the only problem, Howard, is that then the government, Andreas, the government's not the Mac, but the government would be accused of not being transparent, of hiding things from the public. So really, you can't win. Yeah, I guess you're right. It would have been good to kind of not make the announcement and not risk the kind of despondency and so on.
Because we don't have reason to be. I mean, we know we're hearing all of these great announcements, and certainly I watched the webinar that you were on the other night. And if we see it, if we can follow through on what is meant to happen, we'll get there. But the results, what we've seen so far, has not been good. And South Africans are not unreasonably feeling very, very down about it. We're watching parts of the world opening up, life going back to normal, and we haven't even started our rollout yet.
Yeah, Howard, the only country that I know of that's going back to normal is Israel. And Israel is kind of very advanced, but you look at European countries.
Well,
the UK
are trying to open up now. Pubs are opening. Life is trying to get back to normal, but they're further along. We aren't anywhere.
Yeah, you know, at the moment we're on a level one, which is minor restrictions. Our quality of life, in fact, I think our restrictions, from what I hear from my colleagues in the United Kingdom and Europe, is very much less restricted than what they are experiencing. You know, for example, in the United Kingdom, restaurants are closed, as one example. And there are many other restrictions which are more rigorous. They've only just gone back to their schools now in the United Kingdom. Mm. So, you know, we are much, much less than they are. And you know, in terms of the vaccine, you know, this epidemic is new. And we're getting vaccines now. We may be, a month or two behind the rest of the world in a time when, in fact, the epidemic is at a very low level. So in terms of, to compare us to kind of the other middle-income countries where they're using vaccines which we would find not applicable, we can't roll out vaccines which are not going to be effective against our particular virus. So, take all that into account. Are we doing that badly if you really do a kind of objective assessment?
So your view is, so do you think it was the right thing to do? I mean, obviously from a, as you say, transparency perspective, following protocols, we needed to pause that, even if it's just for a short period. But what would be the number have been to, if one person out of 6 million people developed these rare blood clots, would that have been cause? Is six people out of this number cause to pause it? How does this work?
Yeah, it's a vanishingly small number. Absolutely, there's no question about it. But as I say, the operative thing is the signal. Signals have to be investigated. We don't want it to kind of get a lot more than that. We need to investigate what is the issue. Is this particular vaccine likely to cause thrombosis? At the moment, I must underline and emphasize there's no evidence whatsoever. But the investigation has to go because it's an alerting sign. We need to kind of investigate why are this very, very small number of people getting clots. Is it related to the vaccine? If it is related to the vaccine, how is it related to the vaccine? Is it going to kind of amplify? Is it going to get bigger? We need to kind of make absolutely sure that, in fact, these are just trivial things in terms of numbers, or may not really be, might not be really related to the vaccine. We need to get that reassurance by investigating it.
But will we be able to do that within a relatively short period, a couple of days, do you think?
Well, look, it gives a chance to kind of assess those people that have had the vaccine. There are some clinical also, so biochemical signs, maybe that they are, more likely to get thrombosis. We need to kind of, that people that don't have clots, they need to be investigated. Is there some potential, why is it only women, for example? Why is it younger women? Are there kind of biochemical signs in their blood which may lead to a thrombotic propensity? These can be done very rapidly and can be done within a day, in fact.
Right.
This is what has to be done now. And the kind of protocols, the vaccine rollout protocols, so that if you get a safety signal, whether it's vaccines or whether it's medicines or whether it's a trial, you suspend it and you investigate to get that information, and then you carry on.
Of course, the other concern is that on the assumption that we'll carry on, and I believe, as I'm sure you do, that it will, given the low numbers here of these incidents, the problem is that what it does is it also undermines people's confidence. People who might have been on the fence, and I can tell you I'm certainly not one of them, I'll take any vaccine, maybe aside from the Chinese one, as long as I can get it. But anybody who might have been nervous will be perhaps made a little bit more nervous by this.
Well, I think this is where the challenge comes in communications. I'm not sure we're doing a great job, but we try our best. We're trying to reassure and trying to say, look, this does not mean the vaccine's not safe. It means we're following a certain protocol, investigating early signals to ensure the vaccine is safe.
Right. And unfortunately, that's where we leave it. I know that you squeezed us in this morning, and I really do appreciate you, chatting to us this morning. That is a professor, is Professor Barry Shubb, former executive director at the NICD. He is a professor of virology at Wits University.